Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform is dedicated to industry heroes. That's you, right there. Pointing at you, you're an industry hero. You're a company that gets things done. You solve problems. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate like nobody's business. You're changing lives and you're changing the world as we speak. Thank you very much. That's why we celebrate you. All right, in the hot seat. Another great interview because that's what we do here on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Jeff Frick. F-R-I-C-K is in the hot seat, founder of Menlo Creek Media. He is also a host of a podcast, Turn the Lens. Tell you, man, we're talking digital twin. What's cool about it? He's a fun conversation. Let's get cracking. All right. I'm rolling out this red carpet for everybody out there. I'm going to deviate just a tad bit before we get into the fabulous... And I mean fabulous interview with Jeff. So I have this quote, and I get into quotes here and there, and some of them is like, yeah, that's cool. That's a cool quote. That's a cool quote. But, you know, I've been working diligently because we want to create a community here on the Industrial Talk platform, the community, a network of networks right here, right now, and to be able to collaborate. But it's like, All right, if I'm preaching all this, I need to educate and we need to find individuals, professionals, the best of the best in industry around the world. That's who we touch. It's all around the world that can educate on specific topics because we're all about solving problems. We're all about addressing and being able to solve problems. But to do that really effectively, we need to collaborate. We need to collaborate with a lot of individuals and to come up with solutions that make sense. It does. And then from there, boom, innovation. So I found this quote, and it's out on Industrial Academy, right? And it's out there because I'm all big into the old education. And it's from a gentleman by the name of William Pollard. He's a physicist. And here's the quote. Learning and innovation go hand in hand. Yeah, that's true. Learning and innovation go hand in hand. The arrogance of success is to think, right? The arrogance of success is to think that what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow. If that is not a timely quote, I don't know what is, because we've got this unique world that we live in. It has been quite disruptive. We've been trying to figure out how to, you know, survive, rebuild, and prosper in this new next normal, squiffy, whatever. I don't know. I don't have the answers, right? But we need to figure it out, right? Because you need to be there. You because you're an industry professional, because you're a company that gets things done, you need to be there. And we need to figure out the strategies to be able to do that. And that is coming through education and collaboration and innovation. And to be able to have the Industrial Talk platform out there to that really supports a community and networks of network, that's a big deal. So always go out there. Now, we're going to do this Industrial Talk 2.0. So we're going through this little change right now. But really what we're trying to come up with is, and we're working on it, it's going to happen, is the ability to be able to find the right individual or individuals that you can collaborate. And you can listen to their podcasts. You can see their videos. You can see everything that's associated with them and that knowledge and transfer that knowledge. And not only that, you're saying, hey, that's great knowledge, but I want to reach out to that person. You can do that too. It's all there. One stop. One of the frustrating things that I deal with is that when I go out there and I'm looking for somebody for help, it's hard to just sort of zero in on that and be able to have that conversation just because there's so many people out there. But Industrial Talk is available. Now, we're going to be starting also a new, it's fun. If you don't know me, I love to cook. I love cooking. It's a great hobby that I love, and we do a lot of things. And this sort of this thought came to mind because in the Industrial Talk sort of genre, We're talking to people, and people have passions outside of what they're doing. And one of the passions that I have, and I think there is a lot of people that have passions like this, is they have recipes, and they have they love cooking. So we're going to be creating industry cooking. Industry's cooking. That's the cookbook that we're going to be putting together. And this thought came to mind when, by the way, so I went out to the store, bought some pork bellies. If you haven't ever had pork bellies, yeah, I'm going to put that recipe out there. It is a phenomenal. Now, you're going to say, Scott, but it has too much fat. Yeah, it has a lot of fat. And it has crispy skin. And it's absolutely delicious. But if you're afraid of this crispy skin and the delicious fat and wonderful meat, yeah, maybe this is not a recipe for you. It's for me. And you douse some, sweet and savory sauce on it. Oh, and it's simple. So I'm going to have that recipe out there. But we're going to be going down that road because I think that there are a lot of industry heroes out there that have great recipes. Industrial approved food. If you got a great recipe for a big doggone hamburger, yeah, I'm all in. Or a big steak. Oh, I cooked a tomahawk steak. Put that on your bucket list. Yeah, you're not going to get stuff that's like, hey, we did cook some kale and stuff, but that's all good. But, we doctor it up quite a bit. But we're just going to have fun with this whole cooking thing and highlight it, and it's all going to be out there. So enjoy with that. All right, let's get on with the interview, right? Now, this is a great conversation because we talk about digital twin. We've talked about the, Industry 4.0, right? It's everything. Blah, 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 blah. And I don't have to go through it. But interesting with Jeff is his passion for technology, his passion for emerging technology. It's all fine and dandy, but if you can't get that message out, if you can't communicate the value, if you can't just create that passion in whatever that is, then, maybe some people will not listen. And so that's why, this is a great conversation because Jeff gets it. We've got to up our video game. We've got to up our content game. We've got to create greater, have some charisma when we are communicating the what we have. And it's really more about, gaining and maintaining attention. That's what Jeff is all about. We're talking digital twin. And he brings a lumber too. Everybody brings a lumber on the Industrial Talk podcast because that's what we're all about. All right, enjoy the interview with Jeff. All right, Jeff, welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. I've really been looking forward to this conversation just because you're a fun guy.
Thanks, Scott. I'm psyched to be here. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure's all mine, most definitely. Now, listeners, we're going to give him a little time to give us a little 411 on who he is, his background, and all of the fun stuff that he does. And then we're going to go, venturing into digital twin, and probably anything that is associated with Industry 4.0 just because we can. All right, Jeff, give us a little background on who you are.
Yeah, I've been working for too long to have a one-page resume, that's for damn sure. But most recently, I was a general manager and host of theCUBE, which is probably what people might know me as. Did that for about 8 years. Really executive produced over 10,000 interviews over that course of time. Personally hosted probably 2,000 myself. And we covered a lot of stuff. Enterprise technology was kind of the core, but we, from there we got into a lot of interesting things that are going on to now with cloud and IoT and industrial internet, as we've talked in kind of the genesis of this conversation, and really kind of what are the mega trends that are happening all around us here in Silicon Valley that then get rolled out, eventually around the world. So it's really a lot of focus on the people, but then within the people, right, you get to the stories and what are the big trends and really why should people care as opposed to the speeds and feeds.
Yeah. Now you're the founder of Menlo Creek Media, right?
Yes.
Left the Cube, boom, started your own business just because you're that good.
Yeah, so left the Cube at the end of the year. Again, 8 years, pretty good run, and really doing two things. So Menlo Creek Media, really what I'm trying to build the business around is something I'm testing called really identity content. And Scott, what that means today is that people want to know, who are you? Who are you, Scott? What makes you tick? What makes you get up in the morning? Why are you doing what you're doing? So the why, Simon Sinek's very famous for that, talking about the why before the what. And what you find is, and this is a good part of what you're helping people with, you know, if you Google somebody, if I Google you, what comes back, right? I'm going to check the news, I'm going to check articles, and then I'm going to check video, and I'm going to check audio too, but really video. And why I want video, so I want to see who you are. What do you sound like? What do you look like? What are your mannerisms? And then when we have that meeting, whether it's a sales meeting, an interview, or whatever the meeting is, you know, I'm going to know a little bit more about who is Scott before we have that meeting. If you're in a leadership position running a big company, it's really important to get the message out to your people. Who are you? What makes you tick? So they know, you know, why they're working for you. And even more important, when they go talk to their customers, they can say, hey, look at what the boss is talking about. Don't listen to me. Look what the boss. And it's really, I think, pretty binary when you search for people. Either they have a lot of digital exhaust because they care and they've been working on it, or they don't. But it's really a bifurcation. And that's really the mission of Menlo Creek. At the same time, I started a new show called Turn the Lens. I'm really excited about that. And really the idea there, Scott, is just like you see in kind of the classic, you know, shot of somebody turning a lens where the foreground or the background is in focus and it changes. You know, everything that we see is impacted by our own point of view, our own experience, our own context, our own filter. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important today and every day that we consciously try to open up our filter a little bit, open up, you know, kind of our point of view, take a look behind the obvious to try to find out why things are important and why we should care. So I'm having a ton of fun with that, exploring all kinds of areas, really, you know, topics and people and what makes them tick. So really excited about 2021.
Yeah. I think what's interesting, and to your point, I like this identity content, right? But one of the challenges we have in industry, and that's where I'm at, I'm industry. That's a new lesson to learn. We don't naturally bring out that human side of who we are, but people like you and I and others want to connect with people. That I'm not interested in connecting with Acme. I'm interested in connecting with, you know, Susie at Acme. Right. And to do that, you have to create that level of identity and be committed to it, because I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's like, okay, I guess I got to do this. And so they get out there and they post a couple of things and that's it. And it doesn't prove to be anything. It's a long-term commitment. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think so. But like anything, you know, just get started. And and the other thing where I thought you were going to go, you know, where people have a hard time being real, right? Michael Jordan had a famous interview back in the day that both Republicans and Democrats both buy sneakers, right? And the whole, you know, just keep your mouth shut and play basketball kind of a thing. But what we've seen over time is that's really not the case. People do care. People do care about who you are and what you're all about. And the other barrier to fight with kind of classic corporate marketing, corporate comms, is get off of the script and just talk. So one of the things I've said over and over, Scott, is that they pay actors in Hollywood a lot of money to read a script and make it sound like they're talking. It's really, really hard. And we've all seen too many speakers trying to do that. It's not their skill set. But it's really easy to talk about something that you know a lot about and you're passionate about. And so one of the dirty secrets at the Cube, which wasn't a secret at all, was we just have conversations. So get off the script, right? Have a couple key points that you're trying to get across, of course, you know, kind of know what the topic is, but just talk. And guess what? It sounds better. Maybe you flub up. Maybe you didn't hit all 8 bullet points. You only hit 4, but it's authentic. People get a feel for who you are. And ultimately, I would argue, Scott, that that's the biggest competitive advantage. Yeah. I mean, look at Ben and Jerry's ice cream, right? What's the difference between all the ice creams when you go to the grocery store and buy ice cream? It's all milk and sugar. But Ben and Jerry's, they took a position. You can either choose to support them or not to support them. But that's a competitive advantage that Kroger or Safeway or somebody else can't really attack, because it's a position, it's a culture.
Yeah, but you got to admit, it's damn good ice cream too.
It is good ice cream.
I mean, there's one side that says, yeah, they got this whole story, this whole persona about it. But when you taste their ice cream, it's like, oh, okay. I'm into it too. You know, don't deliver a bad product. All right, listeners, just a couple of points that I want to make sure that you get. Just get started. One, right there. Just be real. Nobody's going to sit there and crucify you on being real, and then just have a conversation. I think those are really good points just to get started. Come on. Especially today, especially in the world of pandemic and COVID and whatever we call this world that we live in today, get that identity content out there and just start and be real. And I think you're going to see some great success in that area. Now, let's talk a little bit about one of the topics, and I just go down this road. One of the topics that I just sit there and I have conversation again, it's always this industry 4.0. And then one of the challenges is that you and I and others, we live in it. And so we just sit there and go, hey, this is great. This is wonderful stuff.
Right.
But we fail to be able to bring it down to a level that makes sense, like digital twin. It sounds like a doggone superhero from my perspective. For the layman out there, talk to us a little bit about what digital twin is, and then what is the benefit of it? Why is that hell? I don't know.
Right. So let's imagine you're Scott GE Engine Manufacturing, and you make engines for 737s. And you ship an engine to Alaska Airlines for a plane that operates out of Anchorage, and you ship another engine to Air Dubai, and they operate out of Dubai. The maintenance, the life cycle, the way that engine is going to wear, with one being in Alaska and dealing with snow and whatever the issues are there, I'm not that familiar, versus one that's flying in and out of sand and heat, are going to be very, very different. So how do you model? And you know, one of the big things, Scott, that's changed is in the old days, everything was about averages. So if you had an average maintenance schedule for a 737 engine that you said, you know, you need to do the maintenance at this schedule. Well, the experience of that engine in Alaska versus Dubai is very different. So one of the things that's different is you should adjust your maintenance based on the specifics of that individual motor. Well, you don't really know how it's going to live, and how do you do scenario planning? And so that's where the concept of a digital twin is. You create in software a version of that engine, and now in software, you can apply different stresses, different conditions, different loads, and see how it reacts. Because ultimately, what that will help you get to is kind of this leveling of what you can do with analytics, from kind of descriptive to what happened, to prescriptive, to what should we do about it? And then ultimately our mutual friend Bill Schmarza would say to get to autonomous, where it's actually starting to think about it itself. And so a digital twin lets you model behavior without actually having to drag an engine down to, you know, a wind tunnel and throw a bunch of sand in it and see what happens. So that's kind of the concept.
So what I hear you saying is that one, it gives me a, for lack of a better term, a sandbox for me to test and play, and it's all digital, right? It's all around, okay, here's a jet engine. This jet engine has this type of condition, but I don't have to worry about it in the physical. I just do it into the digital area and then be able to apply scenarios. Also, I would imagine I can continue to hone the accuracy of that digital twin to be even more accurate in real life. But that requires commitment. That requires for a company to say, I got it. I'm committed to it. Let's start building it.
Right. And the thing is, too, Scott, you can throw so many different scenarios at it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's for a machine. What's getting really interesting is, how about a digital twin of Scott? You know, you mentioned,
you're running around without hair.
But you know, say you know you want to lose a few lbs, and you model a couple different types of behavior, or even more important, your doctor is modeling the impacts of that on your heart and your respiratory system and other stuff. So this whole concept of basically creating a digital duplicate of whatever it is, and then being able to scenario plan against that and throw different kind of conditions at it and see what the reaction is. And to your point, once you have real data, update the model, so it just gets better and better and better. And that's really, you know, kind of what the essence of digital twins is. So get away from this average.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I get all, you know, nervous, and I get it in the, you know, if it's an engine, or if it's a building, if it's something like that, when we start talking about honing in on the data of my personal data, do you think that there's any concern about confidentiality on Scott and what his strengths and weaknesses are from a data perspective?
oh, there's all kinds of scary places to go. But let's hold off on the scary. That's kind of a different topic versus, you know, kind of what's the objective of the exercise. So there's the privacy of your data. Yeah. Then there's the medical data and HIPAA. There's all types of interesting scenarios that go on. What you would be scared to know, and if you watched, what was the Netflix, the Social Dilemma, is that for your advertising persona, they've already created your digital twin at Facebook, right? I'm sure you've seen that show. Hopefully you've seen that.
I have, and it's so true. It's accurate. I got it. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there trying to repair my pool, and lo and behold, look at all the stuff that it's here to help me repair my pool.
Right. But, you know, the other, you know, kind of concept, Scott, is before working on averages is crap, right? If you got three people, one person is, you know, 5 foot tall and 1 foot six and one is seven and the average is six, you know, that doesn't really tell you what you're looking at. And so to be able to use real-time data and to be able to use more data to get away from the averages, but to actually start to make things more specific to that individual or whatever the appropriate subset is from average, you know, will just increase the utilization and the lifetime and the accuracy of the maintenance schedules, et cetera.
So here's the deal. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about digital twin, and that makes sense. I understand it. I think it's great. And I think that it is only going to get better as time goes on. And from my perspective, outside of the whole confidentiality stuff, from a personal perspective, I think from an overall industrial perspective, I think that it makes things better, safer, last longer, you know, and it is not about the average. It's about honing in on that specific the detail of that particular asset. I love it. And it's only going to get better. And that from a society's perspective, thumbs up, absolutely grade A, wonderful stuff. Now, we talk about data. We talk about the ability to be able to access data. There's a tsunami of data that exists out there. As you can imagine, there's a level of skills and abilities to be able to analyze that data. But I would imagine there's a push to make things more real time. I don't want to look behind me. I, you know, 1 week is too far behind.
Right.
What are we talking about? Real time data analytics capability.
So again, a really important concept where before we made decisions based on a sample of data that was old because we didn't have the ability to look at all the data in real time. Now we can look at real time data and make decisions in flight, if you will. And that's where you hear technologies like Spark and some of these other technologies out there, which is about real-time data. Now, I'll just tell you, I was in a product announcement for a company who works with contact centers, right? So pretty much all your interaction today is with a contact center or an application, right? When you want to get your microphone fixed. And they now have the ability in real time to listen into the conversation with the contact person as they're talking to you, Scott, and based on the vocabulary or sentiment analysis in that call, they can jump into the call to make a correction, to make a different suggestion, not jump in the call within their standard stuff, which is guiding that call center agent to take you down a path, but specifically if there's some anomaly, they can sense it and then jump in real time. They got to listen, right? So listen to all the pieces that have to come together. First, I have to listen to you. I have to listen to the conversation. Right. I have to convert the voice to text. I have to run the text through an analysis to find out what's the text, what's the sentiment of the text. Oh, piss. This person, Scott, said some mad words, and we should be suggesting these alternatives. It's a brand new person. They've never faced a situation. I need to flag a supervisor to jump into this call now with the context of what's happened so that they can suggest a better alternative in real time. That was not possible before. You couldn't do it. The compute was too hard. The natural language processing wasn't fast enough. And so there's this whole new generation of things enabled by real-time data analysis that you just couldn't do before. I'll give you another one, Scott. In the same example, these guys announced a product. Apparently in the contact center space, a big issue with satisfaction is people making commitments and not following through. So now this thing can listen. And in the course of the call, if you said, Jeff, you're a good guy, I'm going to send you a great Scott Mike, little Mike flag. with your smiley face on it, the AI can listen to that commitment, fire off what's called robotic process automation, order the flag for me, and then send back to the agent during the call the FedEx tracking number. So not only do they not have to remember to do it and then do it, it'll do it for them and then give them in the course of the call. So this is the kind of thing that real-time data analytics enables that you just couldn't do looking at a report, like you said, at the end of the month.
Come on, man. It makes your butt pucker a little bit. Come on, man. That is something else. Come on.
Magic. It's all magic. I tell you, it's,
I mean, you can, listeners, you can get out there and you can get all squiffy from it, but I think it's so cool that that can be done.
Yeah. The key on this stuff. And again, our mutual friend Bill talks about this all the time. When you talk about analytics and artificial intelligence and machine learning, is apply it to a specific problem, right? This whole concept of, you've heard things like data lakes, where you just like throw all the data into a big Hadoop cluster and pray that the answers come out. That's not the answer. But if you can address a specific problem, you can address a specific thing. And for the contact center, that's a big deal. Following up on commitments, right? These are simple things that can have a huge impact with just a little bit better data management, and then a whole lot better, you know, speed of compute and speed of AI to do the natural language processing.
Yeah, I like that.
Analysis, et cetera.
Yeah, I do. I like that. I think that without considering the nefarious component associated with AI and or whatever data analysis, this is not going to be a conversation around that. I think in its right context really adds value. But I'm not talking about AI saying, hey, it's going to get rid of your job, right? It's not. There's just, you get elevated. I think that there's some really positive societal impacts that can exist. Huge. In what we're talking about. Huge. Massive.
Let me give you another really simple one. Everybody hates to do reports, right? After the fact of some activity. Now, with AI, still the same example I'm talking about, the machine will generate the post-call summary report. So now I don't have to spend 3 or 4 minutes doing it myself. I can review it and make sure everything looks good. By the way, because it's now in a standardized format, it's a much better record for future use and searching and stuff. So there's a lot of places where there's this mundane, monotonous, garbage work that I don't want to do. And that's really where computers excel, right? No different than a factory, right? It's that repetitive crap that people don't like to do that machines are really, really good at. They don't get tired and they don't get distracted and they don't get a text from somebody. They forgot the birthday present on the way home, you know, all these things.
It's like, hey, update the CRM. Right. I'm going to pencil whip the hell out of that damn CRM just to get past it. I'm just going to enter its crap. That's exactly what happens.
Well, but the CRM thing is funny, right? If you use the tool, use the tool. If the tool is simply a reporting overhead, then just, you're not using the tool.
Yeah, but here's the problem. It's like some people want it, right? They're thumbs up and they're going to sit there and leverage the tool, but it begins to degrade over a period of time because there's a group of people that don't. They're just sort of throwing in bad data. They're just trying to get through it, and it sort of diminishes the value. I'm all big into that. I don't get, you know, I get it, but man, oh man, oh man.
Well, a fool with a tool is still a fool, and we have too many tools, right? I mean, that's part of the problem. We have
a lot of shiny objects out there. Now, you got a couple of shiny objects. These are already
I got a few. Yeah.
I like
to play with shiny objects.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. And it'll make you broke because you just, I got to get that now. So anyway, I see where all of this is going. And I think that's, it's an interesting conversation. And listeners out there, I'm saying that, you know, if you hear industry 4.0, don't get all tied up about it. I think that the majority of people within that, you know, whatever that space is, industry 4.0, edge, what you name it, I think that they have good intentions, that they have a desire to truly help society and make things more efficient and less mundane, whatever the effort needs to be. But I think that there's a lot of good people out there. Let me ask you this. With all that said, it's that genie's out of the bottle. I'm a big advocate of saying, okay, you might get nervous about the whole thing, but you need to be engaged. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. You better get with it or you won't have a lot to do pretty soon. I mean, the speed of turn and the Fortune 500 and how fast people, you know, can quickly fall out of favor as an increasing percentage of the goods are digital, as an increasing, you know, part of the value is in software. You got to move fast or die for sure. There's no doubt about it. And you can stick your head in the sand, but that's not, generally hasn't even turned out to be a good strategy.
But the beauty of what we're talking about too, is that it's not a big bang. You don't have to sit there and try to get it all at once. You can sit there and incrementally, go down this, digital transformation journey.
Right.
Pick and choose an avenue. Guarantee that they're all tied in some way, shape, or form. Find the avenue that you believe benefits your company the greatest. Data analytics? Yeah. Figure that out. Figure out the strategy, all of that stuff. Or I need edge, or I'll need IoT, or I need some cloud, whatever it might be. You know, tip your toes in it, and the water's wonderful.
The thing that fascinates me for industry, Scott, is these connected devices, right? Because it used to be you made something, right? You made a widget, you shipped it to the distributor. Maybe it came back in a return at some point in time, but you relied on that distributor to sell it, to service it, to have the relationship with the customer. Now with connected devices, you actually know how people are using the thing. Again, kind of getting away from averages. Yeah. You built something on a spec, you get it in the field. How are they using it? Maybe there's some anomalies. So, I mean, there's so many great opportunities, I think, for the manufacturers to have this direct connection with their end users that they didn't have before with these things, you know, reporting home every night. And then to be able to make software pushes to make product improvements in days or months or weeks, whatever the appropriate time is, versus years. And you know, we're seeing that specifically with Tesla, where they can upgrade the cars with software. They don't have to upgrade the cars every year when they come out with a new model.
Right. That's dead sexy conversation right there. I really like that a lot. I do. And what I can appreciate is that we're on a journey, and that journey is, I think, is bright and positive. I believe that pre-virus, pre-COVID, we were still sort of meandering. But I think out of all of the negative stuff that's happened with, I think our conversations now in the virus world are more direct and are looking for solutions. And I like that. And I think the conversation around all things digital, analytics, whatever, has been expedited. And I like it too.
Sure.
And I think that's a meaningful conversation. And whatever that tipping point was, boom, it's now. That's how I look at it.
I mean, depending who you ask, and there's a lot of numbers that are floating around, you know, COVID as an accelerant to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Digital transformation is certainly one of them. Work from home is another one. You know, there's a lot of things. This kind of move to a digital interaction with the way that you deal with your vendors, because you can't go to the store, you know, it's been an amazing accelerant. Two things that were already kind of underway, to really juice them, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because I can appreciate it. The business that we're in, we can appreciate it just because I'm having better conversations and we're talking about topics that are truly meaningful right now. And you know, anyway, Jeff, we're going to have to wrap it up. Time has run out, my friend.
Always fun.
It's always a good time.
Thanks for having me on.
This was badass. I enjoyed the hell out of it, man. Yeah, you're fun. You're a fun guy.
I'd rather meet in person so we can go have some of those crawfish boil, though, next time.
You know, it is crawfish season around down here.
Is it crawfish season now?
I think it's getting close. You know, you try to gear it. This is the way it rolls here in Louisiana, so that whenever you guys decide that you want to come on down for a crawfish, this is how it rolls. Pre-Easter, crawfish is expensive. Post-Easter, crawfish is cheap. It's market. Don't go, you know, they'll sit there and stick it to you. But anyway, it's all delicious nonetheless. No matter what price it is, it's delicious.
It is delicious. And I'm sorry that Drew Brees is not going back to the Super Bowl. We were pulling for who dat.
Can you believe it? It's what's his name? Tom Brady again.
Who's from just up the road here in San Mateo. He played his high school ball here, but it's just like, enough already. Share the wealth.
Whatever. All right, Jeff, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. All right, listeners, you know we're going to wrap it up on the other side. All of the contact information of Jeff and company, we're going to do it on the other side of the break. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, reach out to Jeff Frick. Yeah, see, I told you it was a great conversation. Matt Stackhart out there on LinkedIn, easy peasy to get a hold of. He's quite responsive. Menlo Creek Media is the company. He is also the host. Do not go away from iTunes without subscribing to Turn the Lens. That's a podcast. And boy, it's great. He's a fabulous, fabulous individual. Reach out to him. You will not be disappointed. All right. We've got to get your message out there, right? It can't be the same because we've got this whole digital numbness that exists today. We do. Don't come to me and say, Scott, we don't. We do. We have digital numbness. We have Zoom fatigue. We have all of it. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive, rebuild, and prosper in this new norm? I just asked that out. Industrial Talk. Come to Industrial Talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure this out. Let's make you a success going forward. All right. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with people like Jeff because he's bold, brave, and daring greatly. You will change the world. All right. We're going to have another great interview shortly. Thank you.